walk and handle things. There are 10 speak volumes, even after this meeting. We depend on what they are writing. We'll proceed by introducing ourselves. I'm Chenwani Farisani, Chairperson of Arts and Culture from Limpopo. We'll proceed anti-clockwise. Beginning with honorable members.
My name is Nkabiso Nkuno, the House Whip of the National Assembly, and yeah, thanks for welcoming me in your meeting.
My name is Muntu Ngumano, member of the Arts and Culture Committee. I'm from Gauteng, member of the ANC. Thank you.
My name is Nimiti Nyalongo. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. I'm from Mpumalanga, a member. Thank you.
Pumelele Ntikela, from Gauteng, member of this committee, from Congress of the People.
I am Dapane, member of this committee, from Eastern Cape, a UDM member.
My name is Peter Maluleka. I'm also a member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Annelie Lotrit, DA, and I'm from the Free State.
Thank you. I'm Jez Mkwena from Cooperative Governance, Office of the Minister. I'm not a member at all.
Okay. And you didn't hear who you are and where you come from?
Oh. No, I'm saying I'm not a member of the committee. I'm an official from the Office of Minister Shiteka.
Thank you. We're done with honorable members. Is there another honorable member not introduced himself as well? Okay. Let us come to our guest. Yes, your question.
Good morning. I'm Wesley Mabuza. I'm the chairperson of the SCLN Commission. Thank you.
I'm Ritanga Maruma. I'm head of Corporate Secretariat and Governance at the Commission.
I am Lokwata Zulu, the Commissioner of the SCLN Commission. Perhaps you can just help you so that we've shortened what we've said is a long way. We call it now CRF. Thank you.
Our staff members, please.
Good morning. I'm Siamangela Mtanjini, Secretary of the Chairperson of the Committee.
My name, honorable members. My name is Susanda. I'm the Secretary of the Committee. Thank you.
This is Susanda for the second time. There was a Rusanda somewhere. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And the other guests we have here?
I'm Mike Kelly from the PMG.
Some people don't know what PMG stands for.
Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have we received any apologies? We have an apology from Honorable Van der Waal, DA. Any other apologies that we received? Nothing. Thank you very much. Please, our guests, if it's the practice of this committee to encourage you, it may not even be necessary to feel at home, make your presentation not under duress. It's a participatory democracy, give and take, we share. We respect you tremendously for who you are and what you do. And while we are honorable members here, we also know that your honorable people from where you come, your leaders in your own right, just the practice of our democracy that from time to time we need these presentations so that we can be able to assist one another and to take our country forward. These are very friendly people. From time to time there may be one question that sounds a little tough. It is just that we build together and move forward together. So you're welcome. You may structure your presentation the way you think best. Yes.
Let me again say good morning. And I
know you did say that you are not asking for any sympathy, but it is cultural that when you've heard that apart from your health, because of the family issue, even if you were healthy, you would still not be healthy. And so we want, just from our commission side, just to express a very strong, sincere way and hope and pray that God will sustain us. Thank you very much. Greetings again. I just want to say as a preamble that we always thankful whenever we're called
to come and share with you what we do, because from all most accounts our commission seems to be the one least known, and mainly because it was the one that came the last among commissions, I think. And I'm not sure what we stand for, but I would like to
actually stress more when we come to our the challenges we face.
Can we have the documents that they are going to present? Because I don't think I'm not sure if members.
There are some members there, and
So, just like every child, say, it's always nice when you're being listened to. It's always, you like to talk as a child, and you like your elders to listen to you, like all children. So, we were excited again when we were called, and because we knew that more people know about us. And so, without waste of time, I'm not sure what would be very helpful, but what I'll try to do, I'll just try to go through what constitutes us, and then we might spend a little bit of time when we come to the challenges regarding governance of the commission.
How much time do you need to make a presentation?
We
We thought maybe if you could give us 30 minutes.
Okay. That would be good. Make your presentation. Honorable members will have questions and address issues and make comments on issues of interest to them.
There are two presentations. One is about the finances, the budget and stuff. So at the moment, we'll just... So as we can see already, I think this is...
And that readiness inclusive of the financial.
From your questions, it appears you are inclusive. So that it will be. Thank you, sir. Well, we are constituted according to the South African Constitution and the Acts and so forth. I think that is, and then of course the Cultural Charter for Africa. And then how do we operate? The next slide. We have the administration and management in the center. And then of course we have these four programs, research and policy development. Community and public education and advocacy, community engagement, and conflict resolution. Our vision, national unity among the diverse cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. Mission statement, as already stated, in the name of the Commission. Functions, developing cultural, religious, and linguistic equality, recovering indigenous knowledge systems, developing an inventory of heritages, enabling communities to expand responsibility and accountability, intensifying dialogue among communities, monitoring of the compliance by the state and civil society with the mandate of the CRL Commission. Mediation of inter-community conflict situations and facilitate harmonious coexistence. Lobby with government departments and legislative authorities on issues concerning the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. Let me just pause here just to say we haven't done too much of this, but our intention is to interact with government departments on some of the issues. Some of the things are not as clear-cut as they always are, and they do need a bit of honing. Strategic objectives, peace, humanity, tolerance, and of course building a united nation, mutual respect, development of diminishing heritage, I'm sorry for that omission, diminishing heritage, community councils. We have seven delivery programs. The programs have to do with investigation and complaints resolutions, research and policy development, public education and advocacy, community engagement, then of course we've got the administration, finance, corporate services and secretariat. I don't know whether this is what you want to know, but just to give you an idea of what we have done so far, investigation and conflict resolution, the backlog of 36 cases have been finalized, received 27 new cases, 20 have already been investigated, 7 outstanding due to resource constraints. We have managed to have a new complaint form through which we are assisted by the Department of Arts and Culture in terms of translation into other languages.
The office official.
Pardon, sir?
Official
languages.
Yes, official. Sorry, I'm sorry. Investigation and conflict resolution continued. The trend of complaints, the highest number of complaints were about religion. Obviously that rings a bell with many of us. And the second highest number is about culture. And then the least number is about languages. continued the investigation and conflict resolution, rural communities, culture and religion, urban communities, languages and education. Majority of cases from the Gauteng province, Western Cape, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape. Concerning mediation, 10 mediation cases were received, but only 3 were mediated within 90 days due to resource constraints, and we probably would have to explain that a bit later if there are questions on that. Then settlement signed. And then there have been joint strategies with other organs of state, as I think this one too, including others that we've been working with. And then partnered with DELCO, which is the Department of International Relations, on political participation of minority groups. Other partnerships were to be through workshops with financial implications. The recommendations to organs of state and 5 were targeted, but 7 were achieved. When we come to research and policy development, there were research reports concerning the following: rights to language and rights of a language, the status of linguistic rights among the Basutu-speaking communities in Mutu in KwaZulu-Natal, public hearings on male initiation schools in South Africa, there's a report covering the Free State, Gauteng Province, and Eastern Cape Provinces, a guideline report on ritual of animal slaughter, and then collaborations on major events. The Rhodes University and the CRL co-hosted a conference themed ethical leadership, the promise and the practice. Commissioner Zulu was very much involved with this one. Purpose was for scholars to strengthen ties with their communities. Public education and advocacy, promote public understanding of CRL rights of all communities, partnered with the South African Older Persons Forum on the role of older persons in discovering diminished heritage. So with your permission, if I may just pause here to say, it would appear to me that we may have to add amongst racism, sexism, we may have to add ageism. I think later on we may need to do that so that it does not, age does not become something again that is, helps people to be discriminated against. I'm sure you can understand why I say this. And then the SAOPF.
I see people with gray hair. I mean, not with gray
hair. I wish I was younger, sir, because I think it might just creep in unawares. And that's how most of the things creep in unawares. And they begin to divide society. I'm speaking this from a cultural perspective. Organized radio interviews on topical issues. Children's rights versus cultural and community rights. Effects of the Children's Act on initiation schools and virginity testing. Role of women on minimizing deaths of initiates raised in the Eastern Cape. Analysis of the Children's Act with regard to CRL practices. Dialogue held at Union Building with partners. This was done by this particular department. Practitioners running virginity testing in Office of the King of the Zulus. Public education continues. COCTA and the Department of Social Development requested to consider amendment of sections affecting cultural and religious rights of communities. And then community engagement. This one is the most important in terms of engaging with the community of South Africa. Promote community participation through CRL community structures. Section 38 of Act mandates the recognition of community councils. And the community councils advise the commission in achieving the objectives of the commission as in the act. Launching seminars held in 3 provinces so far, this has taken a bit long, but to launch these requires a lot of preparation. Gauteng province has been 26, Free State 25, Western Cape 31, and the theme was the importance of the CRL, Council on Building Unity, and One South African Nation. Our government challenges are the ones that would perhaps be the very sore point in the CRM. We can see the commission has established under Section 185 of the Constitution as a Chapter 9 institution. Section 186 of the Constitution refers composition, the number of office terms to legislation. We have 17 commissioners, 2 of which are full-time, 15 of which are part-time, and within this commission, that will affect the budget tremendously and create a lot of ill feeling, I must say, and embarrassment, and mainly because we are not able to engage commissioners with a dignity. Legislation not indicating duties and responsibilities for part-time must, and of course, according to the Act, the Minister administers the Founding Act, and as to that may need to be unpacked. Reporting mechanisms to the Minister are not in place. Is it financial reporting versus performance reporting? This you will have to juxtapose with parliamentary reporting and stuff like that. Constitution provides for reporting to the National Assembly. Continuing with the governance challenges, it's not clear where the commission is within COFTA. Is it with COP or is it with TAR? Nothing formally communicated now. COP is the corporation and governance, and then TAR is traditional affairs. This has just recently been separated, but we have not had official, what can I say, communication to that effect. And that now will be falling under traditional affairs. Obviously, if you are an independent commission and you're going to fall under a department of the department, that also has implications in terms of your own independence. And this is nothing personal. It's just the way it's going to be. And informally informed, it is the traditional affairs under the Director General or the Minister. Now, that's where we are at the present moment. Maybe I think things will be clarified later on. No model of engagement between CRL and COFTA. We don't really have that model. And on paper, that appears quite innocent, but I think in practice it becomes extremely difficult. We received a communique from the Deputy Speaker office in February 08 on possible change of reporting lines to the National Assembly. But then there were those changes, as you all know. It's important to have an executive support, as with other Chapter 9 institutions. I think if truth be told, if there is a lack of support on an adversarial or even seemingly, not really such, but seemingly, it does create a bit of a wrangle for the commission. And then legislative and regulation limitations, roles and responsibilities of part-time commissioners, we're still trying to work on that. At the moment, we just try to use common sense. And then authority of the chairperson is beyond convening meetings, what is his or her authority. No signage of appointment of commissioners with other sister organizations. Then National Treasury Regulations 1.1 with regard to the Finding Act. I just say that perhaps it is important just to let this committee know that up until extremely recently, the commission could not represent itself with national treasury. Department represented the commission, but as one of its programs in a way. And this tended to, because when we did meet the National Treasury, they did not seem to be aware of what we were actually doing. And that was extremely, extremely painful in the sense that I think up to now, Chairperson, we've been receiving between 20 and 21 million. And that is a lot of money. And we are mindful of that. But it becomes a lot of money if all things are equal. At the present moment, if I may say so, at the present moment, we're really faced with a very diverse situation that we are at a situation when this commission started, there was no business plan. And because there was no business plan, it kept on having patchwork on it. As a result, at the present moment, we do have good people are talking in terms of staff, but you have a situation where there is almost nil with regard to programs. Two, commissioners expressed the will and the wish to actually do skills auditing and reconfigure the way things are working at CRL, but to do that, you go to bring them in. And bring them in costs money. And so you stop. You sort of at a crossroads. And so we have tried our level best. Maybe it will please this commission to know that we, in order to meet our budget, when we are called to Cape Town, we wake up at about 3 in the morning. I'm sure it's nothing new to many of the MPs. But we wake up at 3 in the morning so that we catch the 6 o'clock flight, and then so that we can also come back, the same thing. So that's what happened, and so we are always grateful if our meetings have stopped and we're able to go back. We no longer buy, for instance, papers, newspapers in the office, because we cannot afford that. And so I'm just trying to show when a commissioner in Natal or Commissioner Zulu says there is a meeting at such and such a place, may I go? I first check with the CFO, and the CFO says we will not have money to cater for that. So I'm faced with this position where I have to say to the commissioner, sorry, commissioner, you can't go. And so I think these are some of the little mundane, irritating things that are happening. The sum total of what happens in terms of this is that at the end of the day, you find stuff hitting at the executive authority within the commission ourselves, and also commissioners will do the same as if we're not doing our best. And I think this commission is a commission that can really galvanize this country into something that is extremely useful. May I just talk about the NCC? We were supposed to have a national consultative council according to the mandate of our act, but it needs something like 8 million rand to organize it, because it has to be done even with provinces, so that provinces can be able to get people to come. We have not been able to fulfill our mandate, and so we will be in trouble in as far as that is concerned. The plenary sittings, I've already mentioned that you need people to come together. Even if you want to reorganize, people need to come in. And so we have that difficulty. The sadness of all is that some of the programs have been suspended because of finance, and then we're waiting for MTF allocations by the National Treasury. For the first time, we were able to...
Programs,
as I mentioned them. They've been suspended, and yeah.
I'm just asking for the
problem. Yes. Sure. Yes, it's more than one, so that has been suspended. So just to say that it stifles imagination when you know that in there are certain, we've come, there have been lots of challenges because this was a new commission. And it would be amiss if I blame the previous commission for the challenges we've found, because there are lots of good things that were done by the previous commission. But whenever you start something, there's something that really doesn't seem to be gelling. And so this has happened, and we're trying to rectify those things, and it's taking a bit of a toll on the energy of the commission. That is why we're very grateful that you are here, you could listen to us. May I give over to, and thank you so much, may I give over to my colleague here to do the financial.
Just to clarify some of these questions, the NCC stands for the National Comprehensive Conference, which is a legislative requirement that it be organized at least twice in 5 years. So it means as a result of the current situation, there is already non-compliance with the Act, because we cannot be able to convene such a national conference. Consistent with that is that we will not be able to implement the resolutions taken the previous conference that we took from the communities. So there are also non-compliance issues that I think as a commission we are faced with. The next picture now, Chairperson, is going to give a picture of the financial regime or funding regime that we have always been under. I'll jump quickly to slide number 3, wherein I gave a comparison of the look at the funding model compared with the other sister organizations up there, you will realize that we moved with a very small, almost insignificant percentage of funding there over the years. From 2006, the commission, we moved with about 1.9% of the funding percentage compared with other organizations like Human Rights, which had about 55.3% increment of the baseline budget. And until now, in 2010-2011 financial year, we are still at around 1.1 budget increment percentage-wise, as compared to others with 73.51 at CGE and others 21%. The current funding regime is such a point that it can't even live up to the basic overhead cost in terms of operations. The lease cost that we currently are servicing, we're almost taking from the program since we suspended them. We have taken from the program funds so that we service the overhead cost, without which you can't be able to function. I mean, you can't function without an office, for example. You can't function without water. So this is the dire state of the financial funding regime of the commission. We have made some funding requests for the NCC that I said, if we don't have it, there is a dire legal consequence in terms of compliance. We requested 8 million rand from the National Treasury with the recent MTF budget request, because we spent in the previous 2 years around 4 million of it, and the current projections now are that we are going to be spending around 8 million rand. And there are certain activities like the activities of commissioners in provinces that we said would cost around 1.7 million rand. And the assistance that we should be giving to community councils that we have established is at around 9 million rand, But this is what currently is not on offer. It is not currently available. This, it is only what we have submitted as a request to National Treasury. Currently, what we have for this financial year is 21 million rand, and we are talking about 7 programs that we have seen, and other operational costs. The cash position of the commission is still less dire. What I have just said earlier on, Chairperson, is on overhead. This is where we are currently. For September, the overhead project cost is at 491,000 rand, and with salaries, which is the most cost driver, the salaries. It's 1 million rand, because the current 21 million rand that we have annually, we're taking 60 million of it to salaries. The remainder is divided amongst or between programs. So you have seen that it is very difficult to have that remainder of programs, including operation costs, including leases there, and then 16 million literally for salaries. It is because we cannot, and to be honest, we are currently in a serious staff complement shortage with about 70% vacancies, and we have about 2 to 3 years of not filling anything in post, and trying to do much with little, but we're drowning because we have no money to service even the funded posts. We chose to shift that money to where it matters most. The total cost of calling a meeting, our access, the commission shall convene at least 4 meetings a year. The cost of calling a single meeting is half a million. And the meetings of the commissioners are there to approve policies that management has made, and also to approve quarterly expenditures as required by the Act, and approve business plan and strategic plans. Because commissioners in this instance, they function like the board. So you realize that with that funding regime, on the actual cost of plenaries, we will not be able to service even the basic requirements of the legislation, the guiding legislation, the funding act of this commission. The cash in the bank, as in July, was around 3.7 million. The transfer to be received in the third quarter was in total about to be 15 million. Oh, 3 minutes. Yes. Okay. Which we so far have received. So it means for this remainder of the ending quarter, we only left with 5 million rand, and we have already committed to the overhead cost that I said we needed to service. That is the end of my presentation, financial presentation, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Is there one important agent matter or two that you have forgotten to present as a collective?
I feel like something special has been covered, but not necessarily actually covered, but just one government, which I think is very much important.
Because it has both constitutional and legislative implications. When you look at our act and what the constitution is saying about us and what the national trade regulations are saying about us, you find that there are very vast discrepancies. While these pieces of legislation, all of them are they should be talking about the same matter. I mean, the constituent talks about us as reporting to the National Assembly, where it does not necessarily explain the modalities thereafter. That we understand, because the duty of the constituent is not necessarily to explain the modalities. The National Act should be able to define what the constituent means. But the National Act, then when it came into the picture, it did not qualify what the constituent was saying. It did not further explain how we should be reporting to the National Assembly. You have the act that says the appointment of the commissioner rests with the executive, which is the minister. And some kind of reporting in the act are to the minister, but it only says that transfers, the expenditure of the commission should be to the minister, as evidence that we have spent 1, 2, and 4. It no longer says anything about Parliament, and that is our act. You have the National Treasury Regulations,
okay.
1.1, yes, 1.1 that says the chairpersons of constitutional institutions are executive authorities of those institutions, and the executive authorities in terms of PFMA are the ministers. So it puts the minister as an equivalent to our chairperson, and the act says the chairperson reports to the minister of the commission. So that's where the discrepancy is, and it causes their confusion.
Chairperson shall proceed with honorable members. And in that process, you will be able to fact our case. You think it's impossible. Honorable members already ready to go. I think we have noted they are eager to raise questions and make comments. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry if I'll be taking you back.
This time we'll take 5 questions.
As I've just attended, you know, this is my first meeting here as an arts and culture, and you know, I'm grappling with understanding what is the mandate. I understand that they were constituted because of the constitution and all that, but what are your exact duties? You know, the chairperson, when he was explaining about the challenges, especially financial challenges, we could hear him clearly. But, you know, with the presentation, I don't know, maybe it's because the chairperson wanted you to present in short period or what, but I want to understand something. You know, I have so many questions because of that. I couldn't understand exactly what you are doing. When I look at your, is it organogram? I'm asking myself, what is the staff composition? If you're saying that you don't know the roles of who and the mandate and all that, what are you doing every day when you get into to your workplaces in the morning, and you know when you get off, what are you doing if you don't understand their roles and all that? Maybe my questions. Okay, what are you doing? Do you have the inventory of heritages? As you said, it's one of your duties. And if you have a conference and you haven't implemented the programs of the conference, how do you plan a conference? Because, I mean, planning a conference, you know, it takes that into consideration as well. When you plan a conference, you have to tell yourself, after conference, this is what is going to happen and how are we going to be able to do A, B, C, D, and, you know. And there are so many problems with initiation schools. I'm from Free State. There were 11 boys from one of the initiation schools that had to be amputated. Their legs had to be amputated because they went into the initiation school during winter, and you know, winter is very cold in the Free State. So I think that's why. What is your role, you know, with those initiation schools? You know, when we grew up, we understood that initiation schools were exemplary to, you know, when somebody is from an initiation school, when they come back, they are exemplary to the communities and all that. But I'm not sure about other places, but in the Free State, those boys who come from the, they are men, when they come from the initiation school, instead of doing what is expected of them, they are the ones who are robbing, you know, doing all the criminal activities. So I want to understand what is the role with the initiation schools. And, okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, because I do have a number of questions. First of all, thank you for the presentation. I think it's very necessary that we do talk with commissioners from this particular commission. My dilemma that I have when I look at this and I look at the functions that you put on slide 6, all of those fall within arts and culture. And quite frankly, if we look at the mandate, the vision, the mission, this particular commission has the wrong minister. Because I personally feel that this commission belongs with arts and culture in terms of customs, traditions, etc. The department and the minister's mandate of national unity, social cohesion, and the problem with this whole situation is that we have such an overlap. Just take linguistic matters. You have the Pan-South African Language Board, and you have this commission that has basically the same mandate dealing with the same issues. So we are spending money on both, whereas you've pointed out the financial dilemmas you have, it could be utilized more effectively. So my question would be, what are your views on having a commission with a minister of cooperative governance and traditional affairs, whereas most of your functions actually fall within arts and culture?
Thank you, Professor. My question goes to the financial.
We have two guests who have not had the opportunity to present themselves.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My question goes to the financial presentation. I noticed that in each and every month in salary, your salaries don't stand in the same amount, they are fluctuating. So I want to find out what is the cause of that. Second question, I didn't hear you clearly. What did you say about the money that we transferred into your account, whether it has been transferred or not? I didn't hear you clearly about that one. I've got other questions.
Thank you. For now, we shall stop there. May you respond to the question.
Just to let me start with the first one, so that I would like to do this is a question that is extremely challenging. In the sense
that the moment that it is being asked challenges you, because it seems it's not been very clear with your operations, not necessarily here, but I think the position here is that we must promote and protect these things that have been trampled upon before. Okay, and so as I already mentioned, there have been lots of other things that have already been done. For instance, sacred rights have been done and launched. There have been some applications on that. The mandate, okay?
What
the mandate is. The mandate, I can do no better, Chairperson, than to say the mandate as it is in the act. To say that the objectives of the Commission are to promote respect for and further the protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. That's in the act. Further? The page is in the act here.
The first page.
We did not want to repeat it here because we just thought that this would be an assumption which we were wrong about, that it would have followed. So I'm sorry about that. I think we assumed.
That's the question of mandate.
Yes, let's do that. Yes. The mandate is very clear. The mandate is that we need to restore. For me, the general thing is to restore the dignity of communities, which has been eroded by the trampling upon their religion, their culture, their languages. And to do that, it will go together with a number of things, including indigenous knowledge, including the effect of languages being suppressed or oppressed. For example, Jefferson. One of the things that I personally would like to take care of is to collate and collect the African idioms, which is the wisdom of the people that has taken us through from year to year. If one can do that, I think this will be some of the things that we've collected for our children. And so having to face that, the problem comes in where you have places where people's language is being trampled upon, for instance, in other places. And you have to come in. Yes.
What is the mandate for Tala? What is the mandate for Pastoral Committee? Tala meant to represent the people,
yes,
of South Africa. And Tala meant to mandate legislation. Or amend or repeal. Parliament must do oversight in its most broad, promote public participation. So if we say what's the mandate of Parliament, we can just outline that these are the key areas. And then there are the programs that implement those mandates. And I think that's the key question that you're trying to critical. That mandate is simple. Because what you're getting into now falls into what other honorable members have raised concerning the program, the implementation, the challenges of initiation schools. Could we
give you
this opportunity again to outline the mandate? I mean, that would mean what does the Constitution say, what does the law say, which unfortunately, as you admit, is not actually worked out here. Because rather than operate by speculation, mandates are very, very important, because that's what you're authorized to do within those parameters. We give you this opportunity again for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry that we are not very clear. The understanding of our mandate is that this commission is a Chapter 9 institution established to strengthen democracy within the country. There are many other things that are there, but this one is to look specifically at cultural issues, linguistic issues, and religious issues. And so to move from there and to not just safeguard, but to make sure that no friction arises out of it. So this is the mandate to strengthen particularly so that people, as I said earlier, my understanding is that strengthening democracy also means strengthening the dignity of the people. And so once that has happened, then you will promote and protect. And as you promote and protect, we are faced with a number of issues. And some of the issues is to say, how do we influence Parliament in terms of legislation? As I've already mentioned earlier, to say we would like to include ageism amongst the other isms that are there. So we advise Parliament, we advise other governing structures in terms of which way they should move. And then we don't actually tell communities. It's communities who actually ask us to assist them. Already, we've already had three since the community councils, the people, traditional healers, that they've already come to us, the Rastafarians. And we try to understand that the Khoisan people are the last group that we had to deal with. So
thank you. Can we count this one at hand? Most of the other questions.
The other one on Navarra, I think what the chairperson, what we said there was the role of the
part time committee. Yeah, but it's not necessarily staff. But those of us you're saying are coming here at least part time they're here.
So still, the act does not say what is it that they are doing. You know, normally we'd have function of the board. The act would say the board does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it's very number. But it only appoints them, does not say this is their responsibility. But you find that there is a lot of advantage in terms of what saying what is that one doing as commission, which
concerns. Don't take it for granted that honorable members are running with this commission on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So when they give you an opportunity to outline the structure, take that opportunity by the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Outline what is the structure, the position, structure, what is the traffic situation, so that they get a picture of what you do. Never take it for granted that we know every detail about what you do.
I'm saying that there's a bigger concern of where you know the reporting channel should be, whether with Arts and Culture or with COPTA. But before that, we need to understand some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we come to that conclusion, we understand exactly and we can advise accordingly. The sub component I was asking about is that the second page. That you had with the conflict resolution administration and all that.
Those are the problems that are. However, let me just come to what just to explain in terms of also what the honourable member also mentioned earlier. To say that the person has this in my hand, I wanted really to say, I don't know how I could say this in the most sensitive and respectful way, but my intention is to be respectful. To say that we came in at a time when there has been a lot of turmoil in the contact sector in terms of the country. And it's well our understanding that the minister could not give us too much time. So where we are competing with concrete issues. Whereas we're dealing with intangibles. We deal with issues of culture, as you mentioned, the initiation issues. And you find that the service delivery took a lot of the minister of time, whether the minister, that was the reason, but it was very difficult for us to be able to connect with them. So to speak. So I'm just trying to respond to the fact that I think here there are concrete issues that COPTA is dealing with, and ourselves who are dealing with this kind of wisdom and knowledge of the people that we are. So I just want to
Obviously, you ask for research, what are we doing about initiation? We can refer, we can work with traditional healers, we can try to speak with traditional leaders. We need to have a synergy that is going to work together with these people. We are only, and I don't want this to be an excuse, we are only entered in our second year when we have not landed on soft ground. So then it's a very hard ground, but that's our job. It's our job to rectify it. But we cannot rectify this without the way we go. My own personal desire is that we may at least have a respite, a time when we are able with commissioners to come together with whatever department it is and say, this is what was intended, but this is what happened. Because we can. The fact that we underpretend is simply because we're not clear about what the committee is going to ask for. So we're also mindful of time. So we want to apologize. We should have printed the act. That should have been much, much easier for all of us. So there we failed the committee. Then there was the question of the also,
if I may add that the discussion of sustainable policy development has already put in a document on how to deal with issues of initiation and efforts in public. And I think the printing page of that document has already been presented. There's got an ISB number, so there is something that is being done there. The issue could be that not enough copies have been submitted and sent to community.
And that is going to just have a need launching, that's going to need translation, that's going to need some kind of pedagogy in terms of research. Don't just get the research, leave it to the research, there the research, and say, what do we do from here? But there's lots of work that needs to be done in the
Are there more questions that you want to address?
Yeah, there was a question on the salaries. The present payment is month on month.
Let me add something which would be in line with that question. If you could just explain the cost for a meeting, why is it so high? Yeah, why 500,000 meeting?
The salary one, Chair, is to do with the, as I said, the last time that we had appointed permanent staff was 2-3 years ago. But now we survive very much on temporary staff. You know, contracts expire, and this time you don't need this person. It goes up and down, and some of the people are acting. So we change it from the very same salaries. That has the fluctuations. The contributory factor to the high cost of meetings, as we said, we have 17 commissioners and then 15 of them are outside the commission and coming from far away. And the professor who is coming from here in Cape Town, you know, the flight costs and yeah, the hotels when they are there, the caterings and the allowance cost as determined by National Treasury for 15 people. So that's other contributing factors of that amount of money.
Just say that we also grappling with. What recommendation does this commission present make for the next commission? Whether is it wise to have commissioners that are aligned to provinces and so forth? So those are the things which would then reduce that number.
So we grappling with those things as to what recommendations can we make to the coming things. Maybe Chairperson, if I may just add here, that for instance you heard that the National Consultative Council is the one that informs our programs, that informs the programs we don't have to thumbstruck. So it's the community that, and that is so important that it is mandatory. However, we would have thought there would be no debate about that because it's something that's mandated. However, we have extreme difficulty in setting this thing on. And the other thing that we might want to influence Parliament on is to change the act slightly in such a way that new commissioners are not subjected to immediate such strategic planning. Because, as you mentioned, Chairperson, that with the best will in the world, you can't come and do strategic planning on theory. It's very difficult. And you need a little bit of time for people to understand. So there are quite a number of issues that we'd like to influence for a new commission that will come. Thank you.
My question wasn't answered. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that for me. It's
overlap of money.
Mm. Yeah, I have assumptions.
Yeah, I think I think it would be very difficult for the Commission to actually answer this one. I think this is a matter for us to raise because it is very clear that there's some confusion here about traditional leadership, and because I think the Department on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs really has to do about traditional leadership. And here you talk about culture and things like that. And I think this, but like I say, I think we shouldn't. So that we I think it is a matter that we have to put right, you know, to get it under arts and culture.
We agree,
but may I rephrase my question?
That's your view.
Yes.
Okay. There's the body language. Honourable
members,
all your questions
are there? Yes, but I would like to follow on the one that wasn't answered.
No. Let us be orderly. Honourable Lawrence, which one was not answered?
The one that Honourable Maluleka just said that maybe we will have to discuss it, but
okay.
I would just like to rephrase something about the question which I believe
okay.
People could. Thank you, Chair. Putting the overlaps perhaps to the side, do you in any way collaborate with organisations or institutions such as PANSAL, the National Heritage Council, Moral Regeneration Movement, in terms of your activities, because I see that you are looking at heritage aspects in a program. You've done research on the rights of language and language communities, which I know PANSAL has also done. So do you have some kind of agreement, perhaps, and do you collaborate?
Yes and no, Professor. Yes, in the sense that we are of the same kind of mode, and even yesterday we were present when they were visiting at the launching of the venues. We were present there. I think we do collaborate, but we collaborate as the guy coming from the poor family amongst the people, and so we just come in and bring our mouth, but there's nothing much we can do. We only spoke yesterday to say we need to collaborate a little bit more insofar as the class is concerned. And so, Jefferson, may I just say that I think for me what is important and maybe for us is that it's not even who wins or loses here, it's what is the best for our country in this time. And what will come up with the best, we will take whatever comes up. But as I said earlier, We cannot throw away staff because we don't have money for projects. we will be killed, as you all know by, you know, the labor laws and stuff like that. But even when erected area, the commission wants to sit down and say, how do we redeploy stuff within, so that we don't drive them away, but we take the right people for, because this thing was just done petrol. That also requires, unfortunately, if we could just get something that is going to help us, even if we have two leaders meeting with our commission, to sit down and start and say, which way do we move from here? This is the situation, what do we do? So in terms of overlapping, I would say that it's obvious to me that we are overlapping, very clear. And secondly, the fact that I think when you have competing interests, we always end up being the losers. Because when COPs are to deal with disasters, there's no way COPs are to look into connecting and say, we're going to deal with this because you're going to do this. They look into their disasters. And I would think COPs might also need to be freed from taking a responsibility for an organization that is dealing with issues that are not directly impacting on it.
Mm.
Thank you. Honorable
man. Yes. Yes, because one of my questions has been answered. I heard the presenter talking about 5 million in the account. So my question was this 15 million transferred to their account? Because if I had heard clearly, he said something about 5 million in the account.
One follow-up
on that. Before he answers, they have, according to them, they are 75% short, or 70% short, 70%, so their sub-component, they have 30%, yeah? How much do you get, and how much is it for, just to make it easy for the whole presentation, how much do you, know, of the money that you get, how much do you pay your salaries, and your programs, and all that?
I think you mentioned it, you can make it. If I have
If
you look at the annual allocation, 21 million, and we get quarterly transfers from COPs, so if that's 21 million, then divide by 4, because it must come to the commission account quarter on quarter. So that 5 million, then, honorable member, is that divisible by 4? By 4. So we get that the tranches quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
And that 4 or 5 million rand is then for operation, for staff and other overhead in that 21 million rand divided by 4.
So in other words, you pay entire 5 million.
That's what you want to know.
How do you bring that down?
Yeah.
On your head?
Oh, okay, all right. Now let me go on to it.
What I have to talk about 21 million, and we'll talk it down.
Yeah. These are the costs of this 1 million rand for this September, that is for salaries only. That amount of money is for salaries only for this month, for the month of September, meaning this month shall have spent that amount of money. The overhead, 491. Total is this. Yes, but then there are other costs in the creditors, which I have not included here. I'm talking about overhead and then creditors. Seems probably like that. I'm talking about issues of the lights, auditors that we pay, internal auditors and external auditors that are not included here.
This one, this year is only fixed cost and then the overhead and salaries from that amount of money. 4 or 5 million a month, I mean a quarter.
If I may follow up, the traditional approach is to say this is our annual budget.
Yes.
And this is the entire budget over, say, 3 years, medium-term expenditure framework.
Yes.
Of this budget, these millions constituting this percentage go to this program, this program, this program, and one of those programs would be our administration, including of that.
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to present?
This is what I'm trying to present, Mr. President.
Maybe if you look at the situation that they get transferred to this year so far, and then upending payment of 8 or 7, they are not here, but are still upending in terms of the interest of what we have in the commission. So that's 4 million, that chunk is already taken by this other little thing.
And we do pay the internal auditors and external auditors, which also take a big chunk. And as a result, we sometimes are in overhead with those who work, who are commissioners, who work with NGOs, but they don't understand how you can pay so much for auditors, but this is mandatory.
Saying we have adopted the question does not suggest we are satisfied with everyone. So we'll take the next batch of questions. I saw him.
Yeah, whilst we are still on finances, the chairperson said the high cost of the meetings, of convening meetings, but, and earlier on you said, you know, you've gone on some cost-cutting exercises where you, one of the reasons for this high cost of meetings is that people travel from afar and hotels and so on that have to be paid. Are these meetings held over 2 days or more than 1 day? Because if that is, if the meeting is just for 1 day, why don't you also employ the same approach where people will just fly in the morning, which will also save some money for the commission?
Thank you, Honorable Sir. In the slide of investigation and conflict resolution, there is investigation column and mediation column. And the estimated budget is the same cost for investigation and budgeting. Yes, I'm done. So I want to find out, is it really, is this really better, that investigations and mediation cost will be the same?
For the purposes of this meeting, a pattern has developed and is being used successfully. When you refer to me, you say chair, and every time you say chair, person, you mean it. So we've done that. More questions, please.
The mention of the dividends of 12 units, as I mentioned, that is, comparing that to your outline budget, that in all these places on the outline budget, you have figures, but on the project, I see nothing. I don't know whether it reflects somewhere else.
Because my question would be, what projects would be there as to help you, you know, implement some kind of a project that would restore the dignity of the country? Can I go?
More questions, another woman?
Thank you, Chair. I heard the chairperson said this is not a gonogram, it's a program of the commission. This one. I just want to ask one question about the community engagement in your program. Can you just maybe explain how are you engaging a community? Because I never heard about any your organization that there's a meeting that you're engaging a community. The second question I want to ask maybe on the visitor, somewhere in this presentation from the chairperson about the KwaZulu-Natal Emutu, because originally my parents came from that area, so to speaking, you know, what is really are you doing in that area? Because maybe a commissioner from KwaZulu-Natal, maybe you can explain, because there are so many things that is happening. In your presentation, you talk about the religion. There are many things that is happening, like Shembe, you know, Parameni, Nasebukheni, all the, maybe we are really engaging all this, you know, religious people conflict in the areas in our communities. There are so many things that is happening, like what happened now at the Eastern Cape, that a family were murdered because they suspect that the grandmother, she's a witch, you know. Are you really going to those areas, maybe engage the communities, especially in the rural areas? Thank you, Chairperson.
We have three seminars in two different provinces. Just for interest sake, when you organize the seminars, how much were the seminars, and those seminars that you have organized in three provinces, do you take that money from the 21 million that you get? And when are you going to go to other provinces?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to ask questions about the part-time commissioners. Are they only remunerated for meetings they attend, or are they also remunerated for any tasks they do or projects or whatever they're involved with? And then secondly, you mentioned the fact that a major problem you have is the fact that the Act does not stipulate the tasks and functions of the part-time commissioners. But does the Act preclude you from, as a commission, to write down and decide on what these tasks of these part-time commissioners could be?
Yeah,
Chairperson, I'll just leave the investigation mediation to my colleague here, but go to the question of the restoration of the dignity compared to the outline of the budget and the figures and so forth. As to you don't see it here, as I said earlier, Chairperson, is that I think some of the things are intangibles, but being intangible, you expect that they are involved in all these things where you are mediating, where you are promoting cultures, where you are protecting people's cultures, and including languages and so forth. So it's
we not operating on the basis that it is that which is going to put dignity onto the people. We're operating on the basis that people have their dignity, but this has to be restored. And it gets restored as they get engaged. The other thing, of course, about our engagement as a commission is that so far, most of the time, it is things that are brought to us, to our attention. For instance, already just to take the question, example of Azabo, which has complained that the initiation must not move to the health department. It has to be dealt with from a traditional position. Now, that has arrived. We have to look at that and say, how do we engage? How do we engage that? It requires a meeting and so forth. So I may not be in a position to answer that very well, but we just assume that when you mention the functions of the commission, developing cultural, religious, and linguistic equality, recovering indigenous knowledge systems where people's herbs have been abused and so forth. These are some of the things that we would like to get involved with. Mm-hmm. We would like to run with. We would like to person that if we have the honor again of being called to say, after that meeting, this is what we've done, this is what we've done, this is what we've done. At the moment, we as we say, if we had known the type of meeting we were coming to, we thought it was a general meeting in terms of saying, how do you think we could function? And we realized that we're falling short in terms of detail. And we don't want to make excuses for that. We just want to say that we will do our best in terms of understanding what the questions, as you said, Chairperson, earlier. These are not just questions for your sake. These are questions that are going with us. To say, these are the questions we ask.
I'm sharing all the time with the Chair and Chairperson.
When I say Jefferson, I mean you, Jane. Okay, and then explain how you engage communities. Now, these are community engagement has to do with the community councils. These are community councils, and these councils apply to become councils. And the department here goes out to look for them. And we actually, the commission, yes, the department of the commission actually moved around to find out which are these. And there are quite several, and we issued certificates to those groups because according to them it's a voluntary association of the people. And then, if I may just say that on the Sesotho thing, there is a research that has been done. Completed on the Sesotho part. It needs relaunching. We need to launch that, and that will be done properly in terms of what you are saying.
Can I just add to you, Chairman, that it came as an issue of conflict. There was supposed to be conflict with the resolution, but as to what also was the issue of conflict, what given to the mandate of the research. Section of the committee, then that report has been prepared, and the matter needs to go back to the community.
Part-time commissioners, are they just remunerated for meetings or for other projects? They would be remunerated for other projects if that was possible, but this is not possible. Just to give an example, the Indian so-called indentured labor and the celebration. One of the commissioners prepared a paper, but because we had not commissioned the paper, it was not paid for because it was not commissioned. And then we also felt we have a research department that has got to do some of these other things. However, this would not exclude those projects where the commission is not able to respond in a very proper way. And as you say, does the act stipulate, does it preclude what the commissioners schedule. No, it doesn't. As I said, I think maybe I used a very common word by saying we're using common sense. But I was merely trying to say how much we try to utilize the presence of our commissioners, even electronically, when there are difficulties, we circulate it so that they are able to respond, and so that we are very mindful that we don't want our commissioners to feel insignificant and useless in a way. We know that they are our strength, but we wish we could do more.
In your document, you raise a concern that some acts might need an amendment, or that they may be legislative gaps or lacuna which should be addressed. It's very useful for the portfolio committee if concrete suggestions are made with a reference to give an act or give an argument. But I'm not sure whether you have looked at what the department is submitting for this year in terms of deals they would like to process this year to address some of the challenges that you face. Because you're not the only institution that has raised challenges of a similar nature. It might be useful because deals are not ethical. And often people are invited, people that are invited to make improvements in public hearings in the process of the report. That might help for you to update yourself with what is going on and see what contribution you can make. So I don't know whether you look at that. The notice you may respond. This would include issues of duplicating mandates, overlaps. It would include issues of reporting mechanism. It's a participatory democracy. All of us must come with concrete suggestions in our given area of responsibility to contribute towards a better arrangement. And you are the best place in this commission to understand some of those challenges. Nowhere in your presentation do you address the priorities on the basis of which the current government was elected. Issues raised in the manifesto, issues raised in the State of the Nation address, concerning the priorities as outlined by the, especially the two relevant departments, the Department of Agriculture and the other traditional affairs, as to how you who regard yourselves as falling into the category of Chapter 9 institutions can contribute towards those issues. Because sometimes money to the budget is attracted by the kind of problems you have, which are there. The priorities that the nation has set for itself. Look at conflict resolution. This committee and the relevant department, including other departments, are required to contribute to nation building and social cohesion. And it is my sense that your commission can make a humble contribution in this area in a very pleasant manner if you really identify how you can deal with your areas of responsibility to contribute to that vision and program and hide what you intend to do. Job creation. We say we want to create different jobs. Who's the we? The we is the public sector, the private sector, the parastatals, institutions like yourself. And I'm not talking about just employing commissioners. I'm talking about activities that can create more jobs for other people. So maybe you're doing it, but it's not coming out. So unless you participate, it means there will be very few of us working on both areas in these 4 or 5 years, now 4 years. There's the issue of education. You have community, public education, and advocacy. I think you are both strategically placed, although there are still a little of a little here and there between yourself and others. But you can come up with very important programs of educating the community. People have raised the concern about initiation schools. Just to give an example, and other areas where your program can be seen to be aggressively, dramatically, concretely addressing that area to make sure you make a contribution that can take South Africa somewhere. You can have a break that can contribute to that. Fortunately, you also have this among your program research and policy development. That would also assist in the area I started with, in the area of bills and the gas and that kind of stuff. But you don't only wait for incidents when a NAPO comes to you. It's part of the problem. This manifesto that we're talking about, it was not generated at Lufuria. These are researches which were done with our communities across the country, and ultimately, yeah. Our priorities for the nation are identified. Because there's no way any government or any commission can do everything on the same day or in 5 years. You need to programatize, you need to prioritize, so that you know within a given time frame this will be achievable and the result. But basically, as I say, I've not had your program directly speaking to those objectives. And if you look at the constitution, you also look at the money, you also look at the bills that I've just referred to. And they are there. I think you can see next to them on the website. You'll find that these issues, the issues, whoever is funded by party, only or party, by government or department, must buy into the vision of that department within their mandate. That means you must look for other mandate. Within your given mandate, you must speak the same language with the department, with the priorities, with the program on which the government will be left, who they will deliver in this area. On the mandate, I think that the witness that take as a leadership. Basically starting with the top one, I don't know what the top five or top six or whatever that might. But then I think you even need a workshop to work together to really sharpen your understanding and deepen your understanding of your own mandate. Because you fail here at understanding the mandate, a situation of loose canonary breaks out. Because if every man for himself and God for us all, that understanding based on the constitution on the head is very, very critical that we understand. You've not said anything about, or if for some of the document management, the Auditor General's report. Are you audited? If so, what is your take? What does the AG say about your finances over the past 2 or 3 or 4 years so that we can see whether you deteriorate it or you actually improve it? These are your own statements here, but we've not seen the Auditor General statement and opinion. I won't be the person to say you've done nothing, because from page 10 to 27, you indicate the areas you've dealt with, success stories, and shortcomings, shortage of budget, and that kind of thing. Doesn't mean you're doing nothing. There are things you're doing already, for which we are here. And then you also mentioned challenges on page 28. It's always important to mention a challenge. Finally, without time frame, you can have the best of resources, the best of people, but you will not be able to deal with what we call mega revenue in terms of time and in terms of delivery time. There will always be challenges without that. Thank you. Those are not the closing remarks. You may comment on that. The members have come back to you for more.
Thank you very much. Let me just say that there was a question that did not answer that. Answer a question of, in terms of cost cutting meetings.
And this, may I say, one by one, we may think out and get in touch with coffee and come back. We're not going to have a free time for coffee. We can just think out and get what you want.
Just to say that we are actually working on that this last time, I'm pleased to say that. We have also other meetings that cycle mine away. These are Section 22. These are community meetings that oversee the work of the department. They are constituted according to the different commissioners of the service. Some are in the finance, some are in human resource, some are, and when those meetings come, they then fall into the executive committee. So the Section 22 themselves, when they meet, it involves funds. But they are important because they are part of the act. So they're part of it. But this particular time, what we did, we tried to make three-day meetings. And the three-day meetings cut off a lot of funding. The first was for committee meetings, slap dash, and then the other two were for the plenary. And from 500, the amount became 200. And 200, I believe that can be the trend to stay for that. And that's what I'm asking. Coming to the Act 10, the contribution to change. Hearing you, the way you speak, emboldens us in a way to really come into this and say this is what we need to do immediately. As I gave an example earlier, to say that one of the requirements for strategic planning for the new commission. But when the new commission comes in, bells are ringing, when the strategic plan is going on, most commissioners are not clear. We say the new commissioners are not very clear that state what you're trying to do. And we're not very fortunate about strategic planning this last time because there was a lot of confusion that went ahead. Now, just to go back to some of the things that you mentioned, to say these, in terms of being informed by the agenda of nation building and so forth, are such things to be aligned to that, not just in terms of because of the agenda of the political agenda, but simply because it works and gels and it goes hand in hand with building. So as I say, some of the things that you said are things that have been for us, and not many things we have done, but things that we have to do in terms of aligning the agenda of the nation and with the agenda of the of commission. And then you of course have mentioned the question of the manifesto, state of the nation address, as to how you contribute, how do we contribute in as far as this is concerned. And for me it says relook at your strategic planning to see that it incorporates, because for us we thought it's a far wider thing, that is we are dealing with within the country. And so there could have been an extension of the correction here. That's an understanding of thinking that the first claim of the commission is the one that is the one that informs on its own as a kind of standalone. Your contribution to this is that cannot be a standalone. It's a regressment into what is the common agenda. And so I'd just like to say it's a pleasure to retain that. And in terms of what you will say, then it comes up in terms of job creation. Indeed, this could be possible. For instance, we need translators. We need people who can translate. We need people who can assist in collating some of the, creating a database for some of the different cultural institutions, so that just at the snap of the finger, we're able to say this is what is happening. Those are some of the things that we have to do and have to follow up. We also, before you ask us, let us also just state that our website has been updated. We've got a new IT specialist and we've been updating our website. Then your auditor statements and opinion. I agree with mixed feelings because they have been peer audits. But the peer audits have not incorporated programmatic issues in terms of performance. These were in terms of whether funds were not abused. And so from there, it was a peer audit up until now. It is only now that the Auditor General has informed us and coming to say now they are going to pair the expenditure with the program. And it's only now that I think it's going to be very. So because of that, we inherited quite a number of things that we should not have inherited if that was part of the audit. But up to now, we have seen of it. I think it is this last part here, very interesting. In terms of finances. But personally, I would really be happier if we were to see all this in terms of a compelling of the truth as to whether we have actually done.
On that point, for those the Auditor General So in principle, you would love to look at the auditor
report? No. I'm just wondering what the reason would be, because the commission does not really account to us.
Okay.
What would we be doing?
Let me leave it at that. We will discuss this further. That's a matter of the matter. Okay,
please. You also mentioned the question of time frames. These are extremely important, and I want to believe that they are within our strategic plan. Instead of saying by when, and we should be at that time. And then, of course, just the question of saying that we need ourselves to give an understanding of our mandate, which is mentioned, and I would like to say more.
Okay. Before another member comes up, they raised the issue of salary and project. I think the gist of the matter is that any arrangement that accept an unacceptably high expenditure on salary without accompanying programs and projects and things on the ground. People may say it's not working. Because first and foremost, the monies are meant to go out there and help the population on the ground. So it's a challenge that you must address. And even if the budget is small, we can't be small, all of it must go to Salam. We must still find a way to deal with projects, even if it means limiting the number of people in government. I think that's very critical. All departments are also better known to what extent does money go to salaries and what money goes to programs and projects. Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask one question on page 8, and talked about the community council. I just want to check what kind of people are you looking for, especially when coming to the qualifications? Thank you.
Thank you. Another question? Ma'am, you may deal with that.
The CRM Sultan using languages, when people form themselves in terms of that I already mentioned, that is a group of people like a group of say Rastafari, and they want to form themselves into the community council, they can do so. There has been a we have an outline of how it should be done. And so forth, it is in the office. We have an outline towards that. And as I say already, we have, for instance, addressed a few at our office who have come, let us say, traditional leaders, that are a community council. They did come. Others have called me to their places. So there could be several different kinds of community councils. But it's not a hard and fast rule. It's people are willing to form themselves into them.
I don't expect to get an answer now, but maybe it's something that you should look into. You know, the African religion or African churches, they have been complaining that they've been there before you have your mainline churches. The mainline churches came in, they had land, they had their own churches and all that. And if you're talking restoring the dignity of our people, and you find, you know, big churches like Shem, you know, your St. John's and all that, still worshipping under the trees, it means when it's raining, people cannot go to the places of their worship. So I'm just saying that we need to be thinking, maybe it might not be something that is that you should be dealing with straight, but let us, when we're talking about restoring dignity, that we need to be doing something, you know. We need to transform that sector because, you know, even those mainline churches, they still have, you know, more opportunities. You know, they can go anywhere. They'll have a church that will be built for them. But there is also a challenge that these churches are mushrooming and all that. But what do we do about churches that have been there for a long time? The churches that we know, that, you know, these are African churches. What do we do in terms of restoring the dignity up?
One of those things you look at, because at the historical level, we can make big, grandiose statements to say all official languages are equal. But are they really equal? If they are not, what should we do to ensure that there's some semblance of equality among the languages? This past week, I worked in three different groups, and they were asking me why, if languages are required, why are they not offered same time set in television? What about Tom? What about Ben? What about Leven? Last year, I attended the conference in Israel, and at that conference, the some people were telling what we derogated, we call Bushmen. I think they are women, they are Bush women, but they are the some people. And they were saying, it is acknowledged that we are the oldest language in this area. What is really happening seriously, and if we must walk our talk, it means we must set aside adequate time. So that those few people that speak the language and that kind of thing, we redirect the language and support it. It's not undoable. Look at Africa, the way its status was raised and its dignity. The Hebrew language was there, completely there. But now it's the language of the country, at university, at every level. So, in principle, if we talk equality, rhetoric level, we actually excite people, agitate people to look for that equality in practice. So if they don't find it, it means we've agitated them into a territory where later we actually regret if we do not believe. So, equality of religion, that's what I understand, it doesn't mean that we must go and campaign for given denominations and religions ourselves, but it means they must be given equal opportunity and possibility for them to develop without the old stereotypes and prejudices that have been there. It means we must recognize them as equal with those that have actually come from elsewhere. If we want to preserve peace and social cohesion and nation building country, we don't want to degenerate into Northern Ireland and the Middle East and the challenges they are facing in Sudan, South and North, and elsewhere, you know, the examples that are made in dealing with the Commission. It's critical that we do our thing right here to make sure that everybody feels at home. But she says that is wrong.
We really want to assure this committee that we are among the very few people who are highly capable in the world to have a commission. And for us, it is extremely important to see this. And with this contribution that has come from here, it has built up our own agenda. I want to assure you, Chair, that our own agenda has been built up and to assisted us to really look at few people to interrogate some of the things you're doing, the couple of things. And now you begin to see what you're wanting as well, and hope that you can go far. The question of religion, I may just say that we are presently looking, the commissioners are presently looking at a charter of religion that is being launched on the 31st of October. And we have different of opinions about the commission. I thought we would have actually had conferences on that. However, I am told that already work has been done and that charter was being completed. So we're looking at it to see where are the loopholes. That will include some of the things that you've mentioned. And the what I'm hearing, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that we're not being asked to bring the churches to the people. We're being asked to encourage the people. It doesn't say that sometimes there's a different understanding of our theology in terms of what the church, in terms of whether it is a building or whether it is a proper organization. So that those are some of the debates that our country has the land now.
that you state that we are the only country where we can talk about each other. Yesterday they were also saying that we are the only country where Muslims can go to a Jewish synagogue and get prayed, where Jews can go to a Muslim temple and to believe. So we would like to take this, and let me assure you, Chairperson, that you have contributed tremendously to building us up in terms of this. When we give our report to the commission and to staff, it will be assisting in terms of owning what we are supposed to do. And then, of course, you also mentioned the question of language that we do. We had the Khoisan group coming to us. Tuesday they came, and they also gave a lot of their input. The only thing, of course, where we sort of seemed to have problems was when they mentioned that they even asked came when they were already there, and we just thought that's a serious political statement which we cannot accept, because that helps people to say we also cannot claim this country. So we did mention to them that we need to talk about. But we started with that. But we got a lot of data from this. Yes.
The organization of African Unity wisely decided at its formation to accept the intellectual balkanization of the continent, and the boundaries that were set by the colonialists to avoid the beginning of us tearing ourselves apart. You know that the way the boundaries stand are not how they used to stand before imperialism, colonialization. So that broader African perspective will happily also inform the intelligence of the Khoisan. The position of the Africans is that all of us are here, like all other people in the different parts of the world, they're there. The question is how to win it together, because all of us are here.
Mm.
It's not who came yesterday and who will come tomorrow.
Mm.
It's whoever is here, how to win it together with respect to the different cultural considerations. Maybe let us take seriously also what the members have said about moral MLM. Moral regeneration movement. Now, if you take the priority of the manifesto period, plus other things, because the priorities do not mean we must forget other things. There are still lots of other things that happen outside the priorities of the manifesto. But just a priority about them. Unless you concretize, translate the values and norms into tangible material conditions that improve the lives of our people, but you will never achieve nation building and social cohesion. When some are very, very rich and others are starving, and so for the particular standard. So, from rhetoric, we must always go back to practice. Thank you very much. We'll get someone to cast a vote of thanks. You say this is your first meeting in this meeting, Honorable Kunham. May we baptize you with a baptism of fire and surprise you and I.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks to the commission. With thanks for coming to us and opening up to us, and we hope that we'll be able to solve the problem of who you should be reporting to, whether to COPTA or to this. committee, but I would also want to say that you know, take into consideration, because, you know, as members of parliament, we are here as public reps. So we're here on mandate of the people. So when people ask, the questions that we are asking you are the questions that are asked actually on the ground. And we're not asking those questions because we want to treat you or anything, but we're asking them so that we can work things together. If there are difficulties, we could have a working relationship, because I think together if we work well, there are so many things that need to be done. And I hope that you will be able to actually at some point get a solution of your problem. And some of the, you know, next time when you come in, you need to have a lot more of your programs, exactly what is it that you are doing, which provinces have you visited and all that. And users, you know, in each and every municipality, or should I say town, there are always parliamentary constituency offices. Users, when you go to the, when you have these seminars, when you visit provinces and all that, so that we can actually help you do other things. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fennell. I would like you to be with us forever. But we'll be together for a long time. So you're not strangers. Commissioners and our guests and presenters, it's two-way traffic. When I leave this meeting, I can address a gathering on what you do, not with the expertise with which you can do it. But we have been enriched ourselves too. It's not one-way traffic. It's cut both ways. Thank you very much. We take this privilege to release you and wish you a very safe trip.
Thank you.
Honorable members, the agenda is not exact. Could we take a 5-minute break for tea and other related matters?
Oh, my. 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 Oh, my.
Thank you. We have resumed the meeting. We shall postpone item 3 as advised by the chairman. So we'll come back to it later. And we'll move to item 5, adoption of minutes. I must admit I didn't get my copy, but I didn't bring them. But I received them on time. I never got that kind of
You know what we're dealing with just now? When you look at the act, it's really not clear and all that, and I would suggest that next time maybe we need to have our legal advisors to come into the committee and let us look into this act, the act of this commission, in terms of where they should be, the reporting lines and all that, and their rules and everything else. I think the act is actually also problematic. So if we could have it maybe next time, get somebody from the legal team to come and take us through the act.
Well, I think it will only help us if we get the level of
people
coming out here. But very few of us are lawyers in here. But once we get a person to brief us as legislators, we should be able to discuss that and find out. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Proposal amendment. Thank you. We're dealing with minutes of May 26th and June the 2nd. Let's look at the first one of May 22. Page 1. page 2. The last page is page 3. Mm-hmm. Any corrections? No. I see no hands from those who were present. May we get a proposal for adoption and seconder? Honorable Lawfit. I saw your hand, Honorable Lawfit. You proposed him and the Honorable Mandula gave it. So we take the minutes as our chair. We move to June the 2nd. Page 1. Next on board the planning, page 4. No hands. Let's propose the adoption. Yes, Honorable. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. I propose closure.
I thought we would deal with that issue about whether we need to look at the audited financial
statements. Yeah. Sir, you know, it won't be useful for us to go into the audited financial statement of this commission because we don't give the money. So they don't really account to us. So I think the only opportunity, the advantage that we had with this interaction is that it helped, it gave us some idea on who the commission is so that we can now start the process of getting this commission where I think all of us agree it belongs to and it's with us and culture. Because I really think it's been misplaced. That's why, you know, there's almost no interaction with the department except that they get the money from the department. So that was my reason that, you know, we can't hold them accountable and say, you know, you've used so much in the house, can you explain this? That's really for the department where the money comes from.
Are we unanimous on that? Any opposition to the Maluleke party? They are enjoying
it. I'm sitting on my phone. I'm consulted first.
Okay.
Yeah.
any other business, honorable?
Mine is also double check, you know, whether we could not really look at the question of the oversight plan, and it was very important, and I think we all think so. And whether we agree today on the document, is that okay? But I think it's an outstanding.
Could we agree with commissioners? Could we agree to look at that next week?
Yeah,
so that maybe it can be dropped into your pigeonholes. The secretary has submitted something.
Yeah.
We can look at that and discuss it next week. Okay. Agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, any other business? Now, honorable member, I'm under treatment. Oh, you wanted to say that?
Yeah, before that, you know, I know we haven't had a meeting, committee meeting in a while, but I just want to, on behalf of this committee, because whilst we were on recess, you lost your dear mother, and I think it is only in order, you know, as this committee to extend our deepest sympathy to you and your family. And to also wish all of you the strength to be able to pull through this trying time. Thank you.
Honorable members, I have no words to in English to express my innermost gratitude for the support of prayer that I received from my new colleagues. Although I've been a minister in the church for a long, long time, ministering to others in Greece, I discovered personally the need for that support and prayer from colleagues. I really appreciate that. I'm not enjoying the best of health. The authorities of this institution are properly informed. So if and when you meet, and I'm not here, you will know what the procedure is. You will get one of you to chair the meeting. The meeting should not be bogged down because of the ill health or absence of anybody. This is the people's parliament, not the human people's parliament. So if I'm not here, no one will be with the agent. Even this morning, I hope that some of you would be here and you have could agree. It didn't work out that way, so I had to check. I planned that someone else would check the question. So, thank you very much. You very much. You may talk to you. someone lift me up? Can someone lift me up? Thank you. Thank you. Switch it off for me, sir. I didn't switch it off, just in case. I did the wrong thing. Still running.
Oh, still running.
Okay.